investment. And for many of you that have responded to our questionnaire that we asked you to respond to, an email has gone out to each and every one of you. And so I want to ask you to look for that email, and if you're able to also respond if you feel the need to respond. Today we start a new sermon series called How to Have a Relationship with God, Part 2. We had a sermon series last year called How to Have a Relationship with God, and today we start the Part 2 of that series. Today's sermon title is called With All Your Heart. And so we're going to be looking at Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 1 through 9. So why don't we turn our Bibles to Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 1 through 9. And if you have one of these Bibles from the outside, you can turn the Bible page to page 151, page 151. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 1 through 9. This is the reading of God's word. Now this is the commandment, the statutes and the rules that the Lord your God commanded me to teach you, that you may do them in the land to which you are going over to possess it, that you may fear the Lord your God, you and your son's son, by keeping all his statutes and his commandments, which I command you, all the days of your life, and that your days may be long. Hear therefore, O Israel, and be careful to do them, that it may go well with you, and that you may multiply greatly, as the Lord, the God of your fathers, has promised you in a land flowing with milk and honey. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your might. And these words that I command you today shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. Amen. Well, we've been going through a bunch of different sermons and sermon series, and I just wanted to kind of quickly go over what sermon series we have gone through, and just kind of to show you guys how each of these sermon series actually relate to each other. Back in the winter time of last year, we finished up our sermon series on Matthew, and we ended with the idea of go and make disciples of all nations, kind of related to what we talked about in the greatest investment, the last sermon series that we went through. And then in the spring, we went through something called gospel-centered relationships, and we talked about how if God has shown his love to us, we want to be able to show that love to other people around us. And also, how does that relate to our marriages, and how does that relate to how we relate to one another within the church? And then from there, we went on into the summer where we started talking about the minor prophets, and we focused on our God, who is our gracious and compassionate God. And because if we want to really be able to go out and share God's love with one another, we need to realize and remember who our God actually is. And so going through the minor prophets, we find that our God is a gracious and compassionate God, even though we continue to sin against him. And what we find through the minor prophets is that we really do need a savior. We really do need Jesus Christ in our lives. And then in the fall, we started our sermon series, How to Have a Relationship with God, and we started going through the book of Deuteronomy. And so the main idea, you know, after we went through the fall of How to Have a Relationship with God, someone came up to me and said, you know, after we went through this sermon series, I'm still not sure how to have a relationship with God. Well, let me just say, you guys can go back and go through the whole sermon series and listen to hours and hours of me talking, or just remember the idea, which is get to know who God is. The main theme that was brought out through that sermon series is basically the idea of remember how God has worked in your life. and remember his laws that he's given, because the more you study about his laws, the more you realize who God actually is. You realize his character. And so not only are you able to see who God is through your life and how God has worked in history, but you also learn about who God is as you learn more about his laws, because you get to see who he is really all about. After that, we talked about Jesus, our mediator, because we realized that no matter how much we learn about God's law, we're going to fail. We're going to fail and we're going to sin against our God. And so we need Jesus Christ, our mediator. And then we just went through the sermon series, The Greatest Investment, to talk about, remember, God is working all throughout history so that we can have this relationship with him. But not only us, God wants to involve us in this great investment of his glory to go out and share with other people out there about how to have a relationship with God. And so now we come back to talking about how to have a relationship with God. And the main thing that we're going to be going over and over again throughout this sermon series is the idea that as you come to know who God is, now go out and share this love with other people out there. Live out your love for God. As we realize how God has loved us, now we want to learn how to live out this love for our God. And so we come to our main idea for today's sermon, which is love the Lord your God with all your heart. And of course, the passage goes on to say, and with all your soul and with all your might. But I just shortened it to be with all your heart, because in English, I think that there's this sense of if you do something with all your heart, it's this idea of doing things with everything that you got, with all of your emotions and with everything that you are. And so I just kind of shortened it. But the basic idea is love God with everything that you are, with everything that you have. Love God with all of your emotions, with all of your thoughts, with all of your knowledge, with all of your resources. Love God with everything that you are. And the three points that we're going to go over are, number one, the command of love. Number two, the connection of love. And number three, the continuation of love. Right. And so, again, the main idea for today is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your might. And the three points that we'll be going over are, number one, the command of love. Number two, the connection of love. And number three, the continuation of love. I can't guarantee that every week I'll have an alliteration with something that's starting with the same letter, but I've been really trying the past few weeks. All right. So let's start off by talking about the command of love. When we talk about love, a lot of times we might think about loving God or maybe even loving other people, and we think of it as something that we feel. And we think it's something that, you know, if I really want to love God with everything, with all my heart, then I have to really feel like I love God. But I want to share with you guys that love is not just a feeling. Love includes feelings, but love is actually a choice. As we see how the Bible talks about what love is a choice. And when we look at today's passage, what we find is that we are commanded to love. And if we're commanded to love, it's really hard to always determine what our feelings should be, right? We can't say, like, today I'm going to feel so loving towards God. You know, it just doesn't happen that way, right? And so love is commanded for us to do, but love is something that we choose to do. And actually, what we find is that in our everyday examples, in our everyday lives, this is actually how we understand love. It's not just the feeling like how the media tells us or how pop culture tells us. Love is actually something we choose to do. For example, we have this type of expectation. Would you expect a person, would you accept if a person said they loved you, but they just said it without any follow-up action, right? Would you accept your spouse, your boyfriend or girlfriend, or maybe even your parents? If they said they love you, that they loved you so much, but then there's no action that follows with that, Would you accept that idea? We expect them to have some type of action to show their love. Or in a marriage, there might be times that this feeling of love might be gone, but a person can still make the choice, even if that feeling is gone, but they can still make the choice to love their spouse through their actions. And we know that this is possible. We say that we love you, that I love you. We say to our spouses, I love you. But it's not necessarily always this feeling. It's a choice that we make. And we do this, we show this kind of love to our family members. We say, our parents may say about our children, we really love our children. But there are times that we don't really like them. There are times that we have to choose to still love them. And sometimes we have that feeling about our siblings. Oh man, we might never say that we love them, but we still choose to be a sibling to them. And sometimes it's really hard. Sometimes it's really difficult. But love really is a choice whether or not you choose to do it. Now, as we think about our passage today, starting in verse 1, what we find is that it says, now this is the commandment, the statutes and the rules that the Lord your God commanded me to teach you. What Moses is referring to is that he's referring to the Ten Commandments, and all these commandments he's elaborating from the previous chapters about how not to turn to idols and how to turn to God. And so Moses is saying, look, all of these commands that I'm teaching you, all of these that I'm teaching you, I want you to hold on to these things and demonstrate that you're holding on to it by fearing God. In verse 2, it says that you may fear the Lord your God, you and your son and your son's sons, by keeping all his statutes and his commands, which I command you all the days of your life, and that your days may be long. Look, Moses is telling his people, Moses is telling all the Israelites of that time, remember all these commands that I've given you? Remember how I told you about how God worked so powerfully to bring you out of Egypt and how God provided for you in the wilderness? Remember that this is our God. God cares for us. God is working in your lives. And so hold on to these statutes. Hold on to these commands. Because this is the way that we show that we fear God. This is the way that we show that we respect our God. The word fear is not just, I'm scared. It is that. But it's not just that. It's the idea that we respect and we revere our God. And if we respect someone, if we really revere our God, if we fear, it's that same word, but if we have an understanding that we do really revere a person, we will automatically do what they want us to do. Or, for example, there may be times that you're struggling with a choice, but you might go and look for someone that you really respect and you listen to what their advice is and you listen to all the other people, what they might say. But that person, because you respect that person's advice really weighs heavily on you. And you think that person's response is an important response that I need to really take into consideration. And you might even make your decision based upon what that person said because you respect that person. That's the idea here. Moses is saying, look, fear God, respect him, revere him. Know who he is. Know how he has loved you. Know how powerful he is. Know how much he's able to care for you. And in that way, remember how he has commanded you to do these things. And follow his commands because it's going to turn out good for you. And then in verse 3, it starts off with this word, hear. And this word is really important. This word, hear, is going to come up again in our passage today. It says, hear, O Israel, and be careful to do them, that it may go well with you and that you may multiply greatly as the Lord, the God of your fathers, has promised you in the land flowing with milk and honey. Hear, and in the Hebrew, it's not just the word to hear and just listen, but it's the idea of really take into consideration and even live it out what you're hearing. Hear, Take it into consideration. Meditate on it. Take it in and then begin to live it out. Because God is bringing you to a place where you will be satisfied. And so we come to the main command of love. And I have what it looks like in Hebrew for you guys. And this is the main command. In verse 4 it says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might." I was going to try to say it in Hebrew and I was practicing, but I'm not going to do it. This is God's command. This is what Moses wanted to really share with the people. You know, following God's commands, it's not just about following, but really, it's demonstrating your love for God. The command is to live out these commands, because when you do live out these commands, you're demonstrating your love for God. So give it all that you got, and it divides into like with all your heart and all your soul and all your strength. And I could spend a lot of time describing what these mean, but it's basically saying love God with everything that you are. With all your mind, with all your thinking, with all your logic. Think in the way that God wants you to think. With all of your decisions, with the decisions that you make as you think about which way to go, even whether or not you're going to sin or not, as you make a decision, make your decision in accordance to God's ways. In that way, you will love God. Love God with your decisions. Love God with all your emotions. Love God through your job. Love God through your family. Love God with everything, even with all your resources, all your money, all your time. Love God with everything that you are. Because, listen up, this God that we're talking about is our God. The Lord our God. The Lord is one. There is only one God, and you should only have one God in your life. This God is our God. So love God with everything that you have, everything that you are. Now, that's the command. And it goes on in the following verses. It says, you know, in verse 6, it says, "And these words that I command you today shall be on your heart." Keep it on your heart. Keep it in mind. Continue to remind yourself that this is who our God is, and this is the way that we want to show love to our God. Keep it in mind. Stay connected. Keep these things constantly around you. Set up things to remind yourself about who our God is and what He's commanded. And that's what all the following verses are about. "And these words that I command you today shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children." Show it to your children. Teach them about who God is. And because especially if you teach them, you will also learn while you're teaching, right? Isn't it true, teachers? When you teach, you actually learn more about that subject because you're actually teaching. So go and teach. Get involved in children's ministry. Get involved in mentoring someone here, because the more you talk about God's commands, the more you yourself will also learn. And it says, "And shall talk of them when you sit in your house and when you walk by the way and when you lie down and when you rise." Keep talking about this. As soon as you wake up, before you go to sleep, have it in your mind all throughout the day. Whenever you're talking with coworkers, whenever you meet up with your friends, let God and His commands be the topic that you talk about. It doesn't have to be the whole conversation. You could still talk about Marvel movies. That's okay. But bring in the Lord into your conversation as you're going about your day. Have God and His commands constantly in mind. And it goes on to say, "You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and you shall and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You know, it says like, have them bound on your arm and on your head. And the Jews, the Israelites, they took this literally and they put scripture verses in little boxes and they tied them on their arms and they tied it on their heads. And that's what they do. And maybe osmosis really works. I don't know, right? Did you ever do that while you're studying? You put the book here. Hopefully all the information will go into your head, right? But that's not the idea. Actually, the idea that Moses is pointing to, that God is pointing to, is to constantly be thinking about these things. If you have God's words on your head, on your forehead, then it's like you can see this vision of how I'm supposed to live my life according to God's ways. Or if you have it on your arm, what do we have on our arms? Right? We have our watches. We're constantly looking at the time, trying to figure out, am I going to be late? Am I going to be on time? What is it time for now today? And you're constantly thinking about, what am I supposed to do today? And some of you that have smart watches, you can look how many steps that I have. Am I keeping healthy? You can look, do I have a message or not? And you're constantly, it's constantly telling you what you're supposed to do. God is saying, have God's words constantly around you. Have his commands. Have what he's done constantly around you. Not only that, it says in our last verse, you shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. Have them all over your house. Have God's words all around the house. And the gates that it's talking about is not just your front gate, but in that time, they didn't have a front gate. They all lived in one village. And the gate that it's talking about is the village gate. And so what that means is have God's word permeate, go throughout all of your town, your city, your workplaces. Have God's word everywhere. Put up little signs here and there so that people know about God's ways. So this is the command of love. But as we hear this command, some of us might be thinking, I know that I'm supposed to love the Lord, but this is hard to do sometimes. And some of us, we have various reasons as to why this is hard to do. And so our second point is the connection of love. Sometimes we don't really feel motivated to love, or it just seems like too much. I mean, I'm supposed to be a Christian, but I'm not that serious of a Christian. I'm not one of those crazy Christians. Some of us might think this way. But this is what God is commanding us to do, to love him and to have his word everywhere in our lives. And so because we don't really feel that strong connection with God, and sometimes we don't really have that emotion or that motivation to love God, we don't really carry out this command. Some of the reasons we might give is that, some of our solutions to that, some of our solutions to love God when we don't have that connection is just do it, right? We're supposed to just read your Bible, okay? Just pray. Make sure that you come to church. Just do it. And so people come to church or they try to read the Bible. They open up their Bible and they're like, I'm going to read something. Transgression speaks to the wicked deep in his heart. Ugh, I don't want to do this. Right? And we just tell ourselves or we tell one another, just do it. Just have a connection with God. But we don't really feel that connection. It just doesn't feel like it's working. Or sometimes we feel like, you know, I don't see God. I can't see him. Like one of my children said, I told my child, you know, pray to God. And my child said, okay, but I don't see him. Where do I talk to? Right? And I said, just close your eyes when you pray and just talk to God. And God will make clear that he's there. And I don't know, maybe he might show himself. But he doesn't necessarily always do that. And so just close your eyes and just think about God and pray to him. And my child did this. I still don't see him. For some of us, the fact is that it's really hard. Just by the fact that we can't see God and we can't always feel God, we don't feel like we're connecting to God. And so when we go a little bit deeper and we talk about this connection with God, we have these questions. Some of us, we say, you know, how can I love God if it feels like he hasn't kept his promise? Or how can I love God if it feels like he doesn't really love me? He's not answering my prayers. Just doesn't seem like he cares about me. Or maybe for some of you, you grew up in the church and your parents, they forced Christianity on you and you're thinking, how am I supposed to love God? What if I don't love him? Or some of you might say, I'm kind of scared of God. I don't know if I can love God. I don't even feel like he's very close to me. And some of us, we have these thoughts in our minds and we struggle. We hear a sermon like today's sermon, the command to love. All right, let's go love God. But you're like, I don't know if I'm able to. I don't know if how I can do that. And as we ask some of these questions, there might be even some deeper questions that say something like, you know, we ask, has God kept his promise? But what we're really asking is, why isn't he giving me what I'm wanting? Like, I'm praying for this, and what I'm wanting is not necessarily a bad thing, but why isn't he giving me what I want? For some of us, we say, does he love me? I don't know if he really cares about me. But perhaps that deeper question is, does anyone care about me? Is there anyone out there that really cares about me? And for some of us, we ask, you know, what if I don't want to love him? Maybe that deeper question is, can I have a choice? And all throughout Moses has been saying, look, have God's words around you. Don't you remember who God is? Don't you remember how God has worked in history and how powerfully he has worked? Don't you remember how God has worked in your life in the past? Don't you remember what he's promised to you? And as we hear as we ask some of these questions, like, you know, has he kept his promise? Is God even giving me what I'm looking for? There might be this echo from God's word that we're reminded of. Remember, sin still exists in this world. But yes, and it's hard, and you might not get what you're wanting all the time because of sin, because of things that are going on. But God is always doing a work of rescuing all throughout history. God is always doing his work. Remember? What about that one time in your life? What about that other time in your life? Do you trust and believe that God is working in your life even now? Or we might say, does God really love me? But there's this echo. Hasn't God already shown you that he's loved you? Maybe you've forgotten that time in your past. Or maybe you're not really taking seriously what God is doing in your life right now. But at the least, don't you remember what God has said he's done in history to show that he has loved you? Or some of us might say, what if I don't want to love him? Can I have a choice? And there's this echo in our minds. And when I say echo, what I mean is there are these moments that Bible verses pop in our minds, or there are moments where people come and talk to you, or there are moments where this thought comes into your mind. And there might be this echo that says, every day you choose, you do have a choice. Every day you choose whether you will love God or love someone or something else. But you know what? Whether you end up loving God or loving something else, God continues to love you. That's what the Bible says. God continues to show his love. Maybe you're just not realizing it right now. Maybe you're not seeing it. Maybe you're not seeing it the way that God is seeing it. But God has said that he continues to love his people. And the fact is that if we look deeper into all of these questions that we have, perhaps what we're really saying in our hearts is, I want what I love. Does he love me? Well, what's deeper in there, what we're actually saying is, I want what I love. I want what I love. And so the question is, who are you really connecting with? Because we hear this command to love God, but the fact is we're saying it's hard to love God because we're still loving something else. We're still connecting with something else. There's something else in our lives. And you know, one way to find out what that is what do you surround yourself with? This is supposed to be a picture of a person's room filled with junk all over. And you know, people, they put up posters. They put up different pictures. It might be of your family. It might not necessarily be a bad thing, but what do you surround yourself with? What's on your phone? What is the thing that you continue to look at? What are the things that you look at on the internet? What are the things that you put in your notes? Things to accomplish today. What are the things that you continually surround yourself with? Because whatever you continually surround yourself with, you're constantly getting this input from those things to tell you, love me, love me, love me. So perhaps the reason why we're not connected with God and we don't even feel like connecting with God is because we're connected with so many other things out there. We have no more room. We don't want to love God. And you know what? There's this battle out there in this world for your love. There's this thing that people surround themselves with or other people surround you with to tell you to love them. The world is really good at doing this, right? All you have to do is look at all the different advertisements that are out there. Just look at any bus that passes by. You're going to see an advertisement. Just look at any commercial on TV. Look at any YouTube video. All of them, they're like, hit this like button, right? And they're constantly wanting you to like them, constantly wanting you to love them. And so there's this battle that's going on. And if you don't do anything about it, you know what the natural result is? The natural result is that you're going to love your children more than God. You're going to love pornography more than God. You're going to love your work more than God. You're going to love your success more than God. You're going to love people's attention more than God. You're going to love your studies more than God. You're going to love church more than God. Again, not that these things are bad things, but the question is, how much have you let yourself love these other things and elevated these things so much so to the point that you're no longer loving God? Jesus says to his people in Revelation, I have this against you. You have left your first love. Where has all your love for the Lord gone? Remember that time when you first came to know the Lord? Remember how much you loved him and how much you wanted to surround yourself with things about God and you wanted to learn more about God? What happened to that love? And there's this echo that's there. Jesus saying through his word, even though you sin against me, even though you go away from me and you love something else more than you love me, even though you constantly turn away from me, just like the Israelites in the Old Testament, even though you do this, I still love you. I have never left you. I will never leave you or forsake you. I am here. I choose to love you. I will never remove my love from you. And I have demonstrated my love for you in the past. And I will continue to demonstrate my love to you. I gave up everything for you. My love for you will never change. Just like the Bible says in Romans 8, but God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. And in 1 John 4:19, it says that we are able to love God And we're able to love other people because he first loved us. And it says in Romans 8, it says, I'm sure that neither death nor life nor angels nor rulers nor things present nor things to come nor powers nor height nor depth nor anything else, nothing else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord, because our Lord, our God, is that committed to his people. He demonstrates, he chooses to love us. And so because God loves us, he went the distance. Remember what loving God is all about? Remember, it's the idea of keeping his commands. Remember, it's surrounding ourselves with his words and keeping his commands. Remember that idea? And we want to obey him. We want to revere him, and so that we can continue to follow our God. But we fail so often, don't we? But God says, I love you so much. I've gone the distance. I've gone all the way for you. And what Jesus Christ accomplished for us is what this next passage tells us, what was prophesied. It says, for this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, declares the Lord. I will put my law within them, and I will write it on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. And then in Ezekiel, it says, I will give you a new heart. And a new spirit I will put within you, and I will remove the heart of stone from your flesh and give you a heart of flesh, a heart that's actually pumping, a heart that's not cold, a heart that is able to love God. And I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes and be careful to obey my rules. See, here's what God is saying. What God is saying is, through Jesus Christ and what he's accomplished, Jesus Christ has made a connection with the Lord, with God, for you once again. When you put your trust in Jesus Christ, there is a connection with God, and God is working in your life. Even though we might fail, God is working in your life to constantly remind you of his ways so that you will want to, you will automatically desire to follow his ways. And God will even give you the strength and the help so that you will begin to obey his laws. We will never do it perfectly, but that's okay. Jesus Christ has died for all of our sins already. But God will constantly remind us and lead us in his ways. And that's the good news. So as we have this good news in mind, as we have what Jesus Christ has done for us in mind, we can continue to love our Lord. There is a continuation of love because he continues to love us. We can continue to love him. And the way that we want to do that is by how this passage tells us. Let's set up situations so that we can remind ourselves of God's love. This is not a command that if you don't do this, you're a bad person. That's not it. This is a way to help us to say, look, if we remember what God has done, then we'll be able to love him all the more. So this is a helpful way for us to set up reminders for ourselves. So how do we do that? How do we do all these things? It says, teach it to your children. I just wanted to give a couple examples of how I try to do that. I've been constantly convicted lately about how I need to teach my children. Because my children, yes, they go to a Christian school, and yes, they get reminders from school, but I feel like I need to constantly remind them. I need to be the one to teach my children. And so I tried to read a Bible verse while we're eating and try to talk about it. And we did it for a period of time. And then after a period of time, I failed and I stopped. And my kids, sometimes they just kind of talk about it, but then they talk about something else completely random. Sometimes it's directly against what I taught them. But I tried and I failed. It's okay. I tried family Bible studies, where we set aside a certain time every week where I read the Bible with them and we sing some songs. We did that for a while, and then we stopped. I tried another thing. Something that I'm doing lately is we have a going to bed routine where right before we go to sleep, I ask them, which two grades of my school years do you want to hear about? And they choose first grade, 10th grade. And then I tell them one story from my life, And then I try to tell them a story about just a random story, sometimes a fun story. But sometimes I tell them a story about how I met God in a certain moment, or how I read a Bible verse at that time. And then we sing a song together and we pray together. So that's something that we're still doing. And then another thing that I've been trying to do is that as I walk my children to the bus stop, I try to tell them, hey, did you read your Bible this morning? And they'll say yes or no. And then I say, well, if you didn't, that's okay. Or if you did, tell me about it. If you didn't, I'll tell you about what I read. And I just talk with them for the short 5 to 10 minutes that we walk together. And so these are ways that we could do that. Parents, you can find ways to do it. Also, if you're not a parent, that's okay. We have our children's ministry. When you're talking with them, when they're not in their Sunday school classes, before service, after service, you can talk to them about God's ways. Another thing that it talks about in Scripture is, you know, constantly talk about it and then have it on your arms and have it on your head and have it in the gates of the city. Well, having these little verses on your walls or around your house, maybe on your phone or by your desk at work, is a good thing. I remember when I was a kid, my parents, they set up a verse on my wall, and I shared about another verse that I put up on my wall last week. But my parents, they put up a verse in Korean that I could still recite today. 내게 능력 주시는 자 안에서 내가 모든 것을 할 수 있느니라. I could still recite it today, and it's from Philippians 4:13, which says, I can do all things through him who strengthens me. And they never explained it to me, but I remember as a kid, I would just lay down and I would be so bored because I had nothing to do. And I would just look up at that thing and I'll just kind of read through it. And I would think, what does that word mean? Because I grew up in America and I didn't know Korean that well. I said, what does that word mean? What does that word mean? And I would think about it. And then later on, as I studied the Bible verse, I began to understand it doesn't just mean that I can do anything I want. It means that I can endure through all things, no matter what life comes, whatever life brings at me, I can endure through all things because of Jesus Christ in my life. And so have these things that are set up around you just to continue to remind yourself. And there might be times that it just becomes so routine that you forget about it. But that's okay. Keep setting up other things around you to keep reminding yourselves about how God is working, how God has worked in our past, and how God continues to work in our lives today. Here's the other thing. One last thing is try to memorize Bible verses. If you want a list of Bible verses to memorize because you don't know which Bible verses to memorize, just send me a message. Send a message through the line group, and I'll give you a message. I'll give you a list of verses to memorize. And I have like one or two pages of verses to memorize. And I'll just throw this out there: if you're able to memorize all those verses, Pastor Nansen will buy you a meal. Just kidding. But this is my promise. If you do end up memorizing all those verses, I will take you out for a meal. All right? Oh, I'll just say this last thing. Another way that you could have a constant reminder of Bible verses and God's ways and things like that is to have a shirt. This was a G2C retreat from a while back. To have a shirt that you can share with other people what that shirt is about. All right? So why don't we pray together? Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for your wonderful word and for how you have really shown your love to us. Lord, may we also in turn be constantly reminded to love you all the more. Lord, that we would not love the things of this world, but Lord, that we would love you and that we would seek to obey you. Because Lord, that's what we would want to do when we see how wonderful and how good you are. And so Lord, I pray for all of us that we would come to love you with everything that we are, with all our heart. I pray in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. As the worship team begins to sing this song, take a moment to reflect on the sermon and just to whatever the Lord is placing on your heart to pray. It might be a prayer of, Lord, forgive me for leaving my first love. It might be a prayer of,